If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop and Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. I'm talking with Ray Alder from the epic classic metal band Fate's Warning. They have a new album coming out November 6th on Metal Blade called Long Day, Good Night. First off, I got to ask, you're in Spain right now?
Yeah, I'm in the heart of coronavirus.
is that where you reside? Is that where you live?
Yeah, I live in Madrid. Actually, okay. Outside the center. I don't live in the center. It's too much. It's a little too much for me.
Yeah.
So we're sort of in the suburbs. But, you know, it's still, coronavirus is ravaging the country. And it just seems like no one really knows what they're doing. No one knows what to do about it.
You know,
they had the whole lockdown here for a while. It was crazy, man. It was really like a police state, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was cops on the corner. You couldn't leave your neighborhood. It was nuts, man. And then they opened it up, and everything's worse than it was 4 months ago now. But people are walking around, living their lives. You know, it's just can't stop progress, I guess.
Are people? What are you doing? Are you pretty much staying inside, trying to stay safe, or what's your day to day look like?
Yeah, we here. I work from home. Mm-hmm. I have a studio at home. My wife works from home. The kid doesn't go to school. I have a 14-year-old stepson, and he works in his room. But now the schools here are open. Kids go to school for 1 week, and then they homeschool for 1 week, which is really odd to me. It's still strange to me.
Yeah.
But they're trying to open up the country somewhat. But no, we don't go out, man. We don't... you know, bars are open, but we don't want to go. I don't want to sit in a bar wearing a mask. It doesn't make any sense. We can order all the craft beer we want. It comes to our door.
Yeah, like, there you
same
go.
Same day.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no need. And, you know, as far as friends, you know, we have a patio. We have, you know, with barbecue and everything. So we have friends over and things that we know that aren't sick. But as far as going out, I just don't want to take that chance. I just don't. So I watch what's happening in America too, man, and it's crazy over there. It's just, you know, the battle about just wearing a mask.
I know,
blows
right?
me away. You know, it's like it's not that bad.
It really isn't. It's crazy to think about where we were like 1 year ago versus now. And it's just like, if we would have seen a picture, if we would have seen a picture of like just in the grocery store of what it looked like, we would have been like, what are you talking about? That people wearing masks? What do you mean?
The entire world. It's the craziest thing. And like, I mean, I remember when I lived in LA and some people wearing masks every now and then and thinking, what's wrong with them?
Right. And you're just, and now to think like, hey, they were ahead of it and they were just, they're probably immunocompromised or something. They were just ahead of things.
Yeah. Who knows? But I mean, again, like a year ago, we said, okay, we're going to write an album. We're going to be out on the road in the winter.
Yep.
You know, everything's going to be great. And then, wow, everything is just crazy. The music scene is gone. I don't know. Are live venues open there?
They're not. They're not open here. I mean, there's a lot of live streaming events. I actually talked with the drummer from the Norwegian metal band Enslaved, and he said because in Norway they've had a pretty small amount. I mean, people have passed, and it's horrible. Any number of people, but because of their relative small amount of people that have contracted it and whatnot, it didn't spread as much as say in Spain or United States.
Yeah.
They're having shows, so it's like 200 people or under, small venues. Everyone wears a mask, sort of socially distanced, and
since the last time it was Queen.
Yeah, Enslaved was like, yeah, we're getting ready to play some small, like, venue shows. So I was like, oh, man, I'm so jealous.
Well, you know, 50 people, 50 people is better than nothing.
Exactly. 200 people, 150 people, 50 people. It's, so anyways. Cool.
The live streaming thing, we could do that, but we all live in different
That would make it a little bit more difficult. Yeah, that would
be. He lives in LA. Bobby lives in Texas. Yeah, and Jim lives on the East Coast. So even if we were in America, we couldn't really get together to do a live streaming. You know, like. But I did see the Armored Saint a couple of weeks ago. That was awesome.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. Actually, I was really surprised at, you know, like how great it was.
So, I'm curious about the release or the recording of this album. Is this something that you guys had ready to go before the pandemic, or is it something you were working on during?
We were working on before.
Okay.
We started working on the album again with the whole thought that we will do the album, have it out in 2020, and hit the road as soon as it came out in either, you know, November or December mm-hmm. or January mm-hmm. was the whole plan. And, you know, we worked really hard to get the album out in 2020, and there was, you know, a couple of hurdles. Bobby, for instance, Bobby Jizarnbek, our drummer, mm-hmm. Was going to go on a tour with Sebastian Bach for like 3 months.
Oh, wow.
So that would have pushed our album into 2021. Mm-hmm. There would have been no way we could have finished with Bobby not writing in 3 months. You know, he would have come back and started writing in August or so, which means we wouldn't have started recording until 2021.
Well, so, surprise, no touring.
Yeah, and then everything blew up, and then Sebastian tour was canceled, so Bobby was able to finish his drums in time that we could have the album out in 2020, but I guess, you know, the only upside is there's some new music, but yeah. As far as touring, that's just not going to happen. Not who knows? I mean, there's really mm-hmm. no... I see nothing in the future. I really don't. I don't know what's going to happen. Hopefully next summer.
Yeah, hope so. And there will be another side of this. We just kind of have to hold on to hope that it will be there. What's it like for you, man? Yeah. This is, I mean, you guys have been a band for a long time now. You guys are, you know, you've been in the band 32 years now. What's been, like, how would you describe this experience being an artist and releasing and about to release an album during the weirdest timeline in American history?
Yeah, it's nothing I never expected, put it that way. You know, it was just business as usual mm-hmm. is how it was going. You know, that's how it was supposed to be. But now I don't know. I really don't know. People always ask, you know, what are your plans to promote the record? It's like, well, I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Usually we go out on the road. The last album, we were on the road, I think, a day after the album came out, I think, was something like that. But now, again, we can't get together to do a live stream unless we do something from our homes separately is about the only thing we can do. And just, you know, wait and hope that one day this thing calms down enough that people can go on the road again.
Well, luckily you guys are, you know, have such a loyal fan base of Fate's Warning fans, and you guys are so influential. You're not an up and coming, you know, kind of like first or second album band. So you don't have to really quote unquote make a name for yourself. Obviously you could always get bigger and, you know, get more fans and, you know, new fans and stuff, but you guys have such a following that I think are really going to, appreciate, a new Fate's Warning album during, you know, kind of a really messed up time in probably their lives and our lives.
A time that people can actually be home and listen to the album.
Exactly.
And it's a long album, too. It's almost 73 minutes long. So,
oh, nice. You know,
they're going to get their money's worth at least. So,
I mean, on that subject, like, was there any discussion of like, hey, we should hold off until we can tour? Or did you guys want to get the music out there for your loyal fans?
Well, I mean, the whole plan was to have it out in 2020, and we fought our hardest to have it out in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, in hindsight, maybe it wasn't the greatest idea.
Sure.
We didn't know. No one knew how bad this was going to be and how long it would take. And we have to, you know, we wanted to work with Joe Barisi, the guy that mm-hmm. mixed the album, of course, and he's an amazing engineer. And, he was on a time schedule, so we had to finish up everything we could as soon as we could so that we could use him, because he just had a small window. So again, everything we tried to achieve was to have the album out this year. So to just blow that off, you know, even Metal Blade, even the record company, okay, yeah, we'll have it out for 2020, everything. So to just blow that off and start over and go, let's just wait, it just didn't make sense. We figured, let's just put it out now. You know, and by the time we do hit the road, people will know the songs.
There you go.
Back to front, hopefully. So
they've had enough time with them. So for better or worse, it is coming out on your timeline of 2020. Who would have known? So I wanted to kind of ask about like your formative years and whatnot. And, you know, I don't want to take up your whole day or anything, but I do want to ask, what was the first band that like made you actually like fall in love with music? Do you remember?
I think the first band, I mean, it's hard to really remember since it was so long ago, since I'm so old, but no, I remember my brother, my big brother was the one that really was listening to rock. I was listening to like 70s, like easy rock with my mom.
Okay. Yeah, you know? Yeah, of course.
Little River Band, and, the Brothers Johnson.
Okay.
You know, stuff like that is what I was a kid listening to. And then my brother started listening to rock. And I think the one that really, really grabbed me was Judas Priest, Unleashed in the East.
Nice.
I think that album for me was just, I'd never heard anyone sing that way. I was like, wow, this is amazing. But the music, everything about it just drew me in. I was hooked right away, you know. And, you know, then it just changed, you know. I grew up probably listening to the same thing everyone did my age, you know, Scorpions, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden. You know, Saxon, all these, you know, just heavy metal. That's what I was in. And I remember, I don't know how old I was, 17 or so, going to a record store and just picking through albums. And I was a kid. I don't know if everyone else did the same thing, but, you know, you just find an album cover that looks cool.
Oh, yeah.
You never heard of the band.
Yep.
You know? And I found the Armored Saint EP. I was like, yeah. The cover looked cool. And on the back, they looked like, they looked really cool. I was like, I want to buy this album. So that was my introduction to Armored Saint back then as a kid. I remember I bought that one. I remember the weirdest things. But I remember I bought that album and Grim Reaper on the same day.
See You in Hell.
It was the weirdest thing. Yeah, exactly.
Dude. Mm-hmm.
So that was my teenage years of just listening to rock. You know, that's how it was. And then I actually heard Fate's Warning on the radio in San Antonio when I lived in Texas.
That's cool.
And they had a DJ there named Joe Anthony, and they called him the Godfather.
Oh.
And he used to play the coolest stuff, man. He would, he, like, he was like the first ever play like Triumph, you know, on the radio there. He had a radio show at night, and he would play, you know, Triumph, Rush, anything. He played so many great songs. And then he played Fate's Warning, Guardian, one night when I was at a friend's house, and I was like, what is this? This is amazing. It was the most amazing song I'd ever heard in my life. And I fell in love with the band and I fell in love with the singer. Like, his voice was amazing. Everything blew me away about Fate's Warning, you know? And then I heard John left the band and I was like, I'm never going to listen to this band again. You know, who's going to ever fill his shoes? And lo and behold, here I am 32 years later, you know, but whatever. What are you gonna do? Pretty funny.
So what gave you the confidence? Did you try out for the band? Or, I mean, this is probably a well-known story, but just for our listeners, did you try out for the band or did you have a demo tape or, you know, how did that go?
Yeah, I did. I did. It was actually the manager of our local band there in San Antonio called Cyrus and with a Y.
Yeah.
And he, when Fates lost John, they started looking for another singer, and they just reached out to anyone they had met on their last tour across America if they knew anyone. And our manager at the time, John, contacted me and said, hey, they're looking for a singer, do you want to audition? I said,
yeah,
of course I would. So I went and I recorded on a little four track cassette recorder. They sent a song, Quietus, from No Exit, from the Live Theater Dreams, and I wrote a melody to that with the lyrics that they gave me, and sent that to them, and they liked it. But then they picked another guy before me, and he was also from San Antonio, which was the weirdest thing, and it just didn't work out with him. So I was bummed because I was like, oh man, you know, I was like, that was my big shot at stardom, I guess, you know. But it didn't work out with him, and then they called me, and I flew to Connecticut and auditioned with my favorite band in the world, which was was frightening. I was so scared, I remember. And I remember Jim in the rehearsal space just looking at me, go, okay. He goes, okay, well, see what you got. And I was just like, holy crap, man. All right, let's go. And so we just started working on music. And
yeah.
And I got the gig. So that's how it happened. Yeah. Yeah. Just a young kid out of Texas. I'd never even been out of the state of Texas.
Damn.
So there you go.
Life-changing moment right there, dude. And then obviously it stuck.
Yeah. Again, it was, you know, I was just in a local band doing mm-hmm. covers, and you know, we did a few originals. I was just doing it for fun.
Yeah.
It was never my dream to be in a band, you know. Never dreamt about it at all. It was just fun. But lo and behold, it became a career. So
dude, that's awesome.
You never know what's gonna happen.
So you guys, you know, that was 30 some odd years ago. 1988 is what I see was when you started, or when you joined your favorite band. Obviously, you can't speak for the rest of the members of the band, but for you personally, what keeps you motivated and interested in continuing to make like progressive prog metal and like heavy metal music?
You know, it's, I think it's just in my blood now. It's just something I'm so used to. It's like, it's just part of me, mm-hmm. you know. In the beginning, I really did not like the writing process at all. I thought it was the most boring. And it's like, you know, it's like, imagine being in a car trying to get to your destination, and you're just, well, you can't wait to get out of the car. So you finally reach the destination, which for me is to play live. Playing live is what I love the most.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, writing was like a necessary evil, you know. But now, you know, I mean, after 10 years or so, I realized that how important it is, obviously,
to write
new music, and you change. And now I really appreciate it. I really, really get into it. You know, it's a labor of love for me now. But I mean, again, it's just, it's just a part of me. It just is that the whole life of being on the road and mm-hmm. meeting new people, seeing new places for the first time. And, you know, I've recently, the last, I don't know, 2 years ago or so, we went to Peru and Chile for the first time, which was amazing. I never thought I'd be playing in Peru, you know, like, so, I think it's just, I think it's one of the best jobs in the world. I wish it paid more.
Right.
It's okay. It's all right. The fringe benefits are pretty good.
It pays in beautiful, wonderful memories. I mean, just what you just mentioned, that's obviously, you can't pay the mortgage with the memories, but still, it's amazing.
Yeah, and being able to work with those guys, Joey and Bobby and Jim, it's just an honor to be able to share a stage with those guys, you know, like some of the most talented guys I've ever met, you know, or heard. So, yeah, I guess I'm pretty lucky sometimes.
So my final question for you, Ray, is if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got that scar.
I have so many.
Nice.
I think I have 4 stitches just from my head alone. Oh, so no. I think one, let me tell you, there's the one where I was a little kid.
Uh-huh.
And my dad, well, there's 2 that are really interesting. I was in the back of my father's El Camino, and I kept trying to, you know, we're in Texas, we were kids, this is the 60s and the 70s, early 70s, no one cared, there were no seatbelts. So we're riding around in this little town, and, you know, my dad had a lawnmower, and we were taking it somewhere, and I was sitting in the back of the car, and I stood up, and he said, sit down, or I'm going to put you in the front.
Oh, no.
All right, so I sat down in the back of the El Camino, and then I did kind of sit up on the side, and he turned into the driveway and hit the brakes because he always going to run over something. I don't know. So mm-hmm. I flew and cracked my head open on the lawnmower, exactly like he told me not to do. So that was one stitches. And the other one was when my mother got married again to my stepfather.
Uh-huh.
I was outside playing on the merry-go-round and decided I would hang off of it while they spun me around. And I fell off of it. The old wooden and steel merry-go-round.
Yep.
And I fell underneath it, and the bolts cracked my head open again. So at my mother's wedding, they had to take me to the hospital.
Jesus.
In the back of my head. So that one I remember because she wasn't happy.
For sure. A memorable day for her on both parts. The damn.
Yeah, their mom covered blood. Yeah, good times.
Good times.
Yeah, there you go.
Again, so the brand new Fates Warning album is called Long Day, Good Night. You can pre-order it now on Metal Blade Records, coming out November 6th. Do you got any final words for the Northwest or Seattle audience before the release of the record?
I wish we could be there again. And we do our show last time we were in Seattle because something happened to Jim's rig in the opening song that we had to stop. That was really annoying. Hopefully next time we'll have a better show for everybody.
Yeah.
But just I hope everyone enjoys the album. It's again, it's 73 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
13 songs. You know, it's again, you'll get your money's worth with this one. So hopefully everyone enjoys it and stay safe out there so that we can get back on the road soon.
Absolutely, man. Ray, thank you so much for taking the time, man, and stay safe out there and have a good one, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Thank you very much.
Yep, appreciate take it easy, brother. Bye.
All right, take care. Bye.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.